Dateline Washington, hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the CIA saga continues. We'll talk with Dr. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation about the Obama administration's decision to release those CIA memos, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's contention she never heard about them while she was a member of the House Intelligence Committee, as well as the report that the administration will soon release hundreds of photos of detainees undergoing enhanced interrogation techniques. Also in this edition, the risk of escalation. Mark Hosenball, investigative correspondent for Newsweek magazine, will be with us to explain why shipping companies and insurance companies do not want to see the U.S. military and our allies take on the Somali pirates. We'll ask why, and we'll find out just how much of an effort it would take for the U.S. and our allies to make shipping much safer in that part of the world. Plus, the U.S. Senate race that never ends. We'll talk about Coleman versus Franken on the ballot and in court with Kevin Dukeshire, political reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And Neiman is a girl's best friend. The Capitol steps take us inside the world of Alaska governor and 2008 Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin. All that, plus our top news at the end of the week, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with insights on the CIA memos controversy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is James Carafano, Assistant Director of the Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's also a former professor at West Point and the U.S. Naval War College. He joins me now to talk about the ongoing controversy over enhanced interrogation techniques in the early days of the War on Terror and what we can expect down the pike here in terms of possible prosecution. And Jim, thanks so much for being with us.
It's good to be with you.
Obviously, the release of the memos about a week ago is still the talk of Washington. Many on the right saying that this has hurt America's ability to get valuable information out of detainees because now they know our playbook. Others say, no, this was torture and we need to set the record straight. What do you make, first of all, of that decision?
Well, I mean, certainly if the president's goal was to get information to the American people, which is right and appropriate because it's a controversial issue, without creating a political rancor, I mean, he completely failed at that. So now we're in this kind of weird shadow land where there's some information out, but not all the information that people claim needs to be out. So it really, to me, in terms of making good public policy or having government transparency or informing the American people, what we have right now is really the worst of all possible situations. It may be great politically for people on the left that want to keep the Bush legacy alive. It may be great politically for people on the right who want to bang the new administration and say they're, you know, soft on terror. But in terms of helping the American people understand what we're doing, everybody's done a really bad job.
Vice President Dick Cheney says additional information needs to come out that will show that these techniques actually produced a great volume of actionable intelligence. Is that the main thing that you're waiting to see as well, or is there other details that should be in these memos that the public needs to know?
Well, I think that information is important. It won't end the debate because we've already seen the counter responses. Well, yes, that's true, but it's harmed our reputation in the world. And also, they could have gotten information through other means. And that, quite frankly, those debates are virtually endless because the truth is there isn't good scientific data on this, for example, on interrogation, because harsh techniques, whether you think they're torture or not, they're not something that you're going to do scientific experiments on, and certainly nobody's done scientific experiments on things which were clearly torture that nobody would debate. So quite frankly, this argument is it's all subjective. There are lots of people with long-standing experience in interrogation, and they can tell you lots of things. Now, I mean, there are some things we know for a fact. You know, for example, the rules that we're going to operate under now, which is we're just going to use the rules that are in the military, in the military thing. Everybody says, well, gee, isn't that great? But, you know, one thing people don't realize is that is even more limiting than what American law enforcement can do. So, for example, if I pull you over for DWI, or suspected DWI, other than the breathalyzer test, I can actually use harsher interrogation techniques than the CIA or the military can use against a suspected terrorist.
Jim, in terms of what we're seeing here, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, says that even though she was on the Intelligence Committee in the early days of the War on Terror, that members of Congress were not informed as to the type of techniques that were being used. She specifically mentioned waterboarding, but said others were not mentioned as well. It's probably hard to know exactly where she was all the time as to whether or not she received any sort of briefing, but does that smack of credibility or incredibility?
Well, I think that's some of the – I mean, we can make a list of the information that should be out. I think certainly all the memos that Vice President Cheney has asked for, those should be out. In addition, I think it's appropriate at this point that the government should make as full an accounting as possible as to what leadership, what members of the Congress were briefed, and what information they were provided. I think that should get out as well. The issue on prosecutions, I think, is totally separate, and I think, and totally, almost an irrelevant debate. I mean, torture is a crime, period. That's not up for discussion. If somebody has committed a crime, they should be prosecuted, period. But what we don't want, in a sense, to politicize intelligence, politicize interrogation, commissions, and these other things. They're not legal proceedings, so I don't think that they're really relevant in terms of a debate about determining whether somebody committed a crime or not. I mean, we have a legal process in place. A special prosecutor, normally you would have a special prosecutor when, in a sense, you think the government can't act as an objective party. That may or may not be the case here either. But, until all the facts are on the table, I think it's really inappropriate to be having those kinds of discussions, because they all really just smack of a political maneuvering on the right and the left. And none of it really reflects what you would do if you were soberly interested in getting at the truth.
We're talking with James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. And James, there's been another issue brought up in the last few days that both sides have been debating about, and that's that certain members of the U.S. military are actually subjected to some of these interrogation techniques as part of their training in case ever captured by the enemy. On the side that would defend the previous administration, they say, well, for doing that to our own troops, how bad can it be? Those on the other side say, well, the reason they're taught those techniques is because our enemies torture. So how should we translate this?
Well, I think that you can put all that aside, and it's irrelevant. You can actually, you don't even need to discuss that. All you need to do is look at special forces training. And for example, look at something called Hell Week, which is what SEALs go through in their first phase. And that 1 week that they go through, in which they're put in stress positions all the time, they're deprived of sleep for over 48 hours all the time. So a number of the harsh interrogation techniques are used in just routine training. Same thing with Army Rangers. Same thing in some of the escape and evaluation schools. I was a cadet at West Point in the Army in training, for example. There would be periods where we would do exercises and we would have, 48, 60 hours at a time in training. So, I think, there's a great term. It's called lawfare, which is if you don't like the policies, you say, it's not that I disagree with your policy, it's that your policy is illegal. And so in many cases, we've turned political debates to legal debates. And that's fine in a lot of issues. When you're dealing with national security, though, it can be very, very dangerous. The right answer, of course, for the American people is to give them the information and let them make their decisions themselves in terms of whether the policy is appropriate or not. As far as the legal issue, I mean, we have clear ways to prosecute crimes, whether they're in government or out of government. We should follow those. We don't need to have a national debate about whether somebody should be indicted if they've committed a crime or not.
Jim, just a couple minutes left here in our conversation. Another thing we're hearing about here late in the week is that the White House, apparently at the behest of folks like the ACLU and maybe some others, plan to release hundreds and hundreds of pictures of detainees undergoing these enhanced interrogation techniques. What do you see as the impact of that if, in fact, it happens?
Photographs without context are always very problematic. If you look at some of the most famous photographs in history, they're very evocative. But then when you actually know the story behind the photograph, you look at it in a completely different context. So there's nothing more problematic than just putting out a photo naked. I mean, without any context in which the photo was taken, without any explanations. Within the material, for example, there's a lot of discussion about the limitations on what you could do, about the medical supervision that has to take place, about the medical analysis, evaluation that takes place before you interrogate somebody. All that is absent in a photograph. And a photograph, of course, is just a snap in time in place. I do yoga. It's my avocation. When you get to some of the more advanced yoga moves, if I just gave you that yoga move in a photograph without any context whatsoever, you would say, oh, my God, they're torturing that guy.
So in terms of now, in our remaining time here, Jim, the impact of all this on our current interrogators, whether CIA, whether military, or in some other capacity, how has their life changed as a result of this?
Well, you know, it's difficult to tell because even with all the hub and everything, a lot of that is done kind of, out of sight. I mean, the good news is, we're pretending like interrogation is the only thing that makes a difference. Interrogation is part of a larger piece of surveillance, active operations, and penetrating organizations and other things. None of these techniques by themselves is a silver bullet. What you need to look at, whether we're safe or not, is the overall aggregate program, not just one specific area alone. I mean, the good news, quite honestly, is most of the really bad people that we can get to, have really been taken off the table. You know, for example, the debate over Guantanamo Bay, I think, is really silly in the sense that, even President Bush had said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay. You don't need Guantanamo Bay anymore from the aspect of, we need to have a facility where we can bring hundreds of really bad transnational terrorists and interrogate them and hold them. Because, quite frankly, we're not going to, unless we, Pakistan, wipes out those areas overnight and we get hundreds of the people of the Taliban that are left, we just don't have a need for something like that because we've actually done such a good job kind of cleaning them up around the world. And one of the sad things, actually, although it's a good question, is where are we going forward from here? And we ought to be as much soberly debating what's appropriate going forward as we are reflecting on what happened.
Jim, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. James Carafano is Assistant Director of the Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for International Studies at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. He's also a former professor both at West Point and at the U.S. Naval War College. This is Dateline Washington.